Wow, it's so good to hear stories. And I mean, I have the advantage of having, you know, prepared a message based on the text that Tim had mentioned. And so as he's talking, I'm thinking, oh yeah, that's exactly what it, that's what it's like. That's what that's like. That's what that piece is like. So I want to explore this with you because it's a marvelous passage. I don't know if you're familiar with it or not, but this passage from John 15 is just an amazing passage, chock full of good stuff that can encourage us, each of us, and all of us together in our faith life. John 15, I am the true vine, my Father is the gardener, I am the vine, you are the branches. That's the seventh statement throughout the Gospel of John of the I am statements. There are seven of them where Jesus, in speaking to his disciples usually, declares that he is some kind of image. And so in John 6, it's I am the bread of life. In John 8, it's I am the light of the world. John 10, there's two of them. I am the gate for the sheep and I am the good shepherd. And then in John 11 is I am the resurrection and the life. And then in John 14, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And then we get in John 15 here, I am the vine, you are the branches. And that word I am in Greek harkens back all the way to Exodus 3 when Moses confronts, or God appears before Moses, and Moses says, well, who am I going to tell people that you are? Who are you? What's your name? And Jesus, God says, I am who I am. And so John uses that on purpose seven times throughout his gospel, and in each image, it gets more intense in terms of our relationship with Jesus. So, I am the bread of life. It's like, oh, a loaf of bread? Oh, okay. And then as we move through, I am the light of the world, and I am the gate for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. Oh, he cares for me. And then I am the resurrection and life. Wow. And I am the way, the truth. And that's what we have to breathe into our lives. And then finally, the most intense one is I am the vine. We cannot have life without being part of the vine. And so we want to explore that image of the vine and what that means to that Jesus connects us. I am the vine, you are the branches. Want to explore that, reflecting on Tim's testimony. But why, first of all, why the vine? Why would Jesus say, I am the vine? Well, it's because his New Testament hearers, the first century hearers, would have immediately made a connection. When Jesus said, I am the true vine, they would have immediately connected that to the entire Old Testament, where the image of a vine is used over and over and over again to describe the people of Israel, God's chosen people. They were always referred to as God's vine. So in, I got a couple of passages up here, Psalm 80, verse 8, you transplanted a vine from Egypt, right? That's the whole Exodus story. You transplanted a vine from Egypt. You drove out the nations and planted it in the promised land, right? That's the nation of Israel. They're the vine. And then that image of vine then became used among the prophets Isaiah, Jeremiah, some in Ezekiel as well. Use that same image of a vine, but often accompanied, associated with judgment upon Israel. So we get something like this in Isaiah 5, verse 7. The vineyard of the Lord Almighty is the nation of Israel, and the people of Judah are the vines he delighted in. And then, and he looked for justice, but saw bloodshed, for righteousness, but heard cries of distress. the vine is failing. So Jeremiah 2, I planted you a choice vine entirely of pure seed. How then have you turned degenerate and become a wild vine? Right? So here again, here Tim's testimony reflects that exactly, right? You grow up in a Christian household, you say, oh yeah, I'm a Christian, and you try to get by with as little as possible, and that vine becomes simply a wild vine. It becomes disconnected from the true vine, right? And that's what happened to Israel. When you start thinking, oh, we can do this on our own. We can make a name for ourselves. We can have all of the experiences that the world offers. We can be just like everybody else. You fall away. You become a degenerate and wild vine. So that's why Jesus uses this image of the vine to make the distinct connection. Israel was God's chosen people out of lineage, right? It depended on whether you were a descendant of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And now Jesus suddenly speaks to the disciples and he says, I am the true vine. So I think Jesus uses this image because of its historical context to communicate something. But he also uses it because it displays several things. Among them, one of them is, it displays a picture of connection and intimacy. Jesus presents this image to the disciples just before his crucifixion. So this is John 15, and then in John 18, we get the story of Jesus' passion, the betrayal by Peter, the Garden of Gethsemane thing, and the trial, and then Christ's crucifixion. And so this occurs, Jesus is sitting down with his disciples. Presumably this occurs just after Jesus has sat down with them at the Last Supper, washed their feet, served them, and now they're just sitting together, and Jesus is speaking with them, and he conveys this image, this picture of connection. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. Oh, that's a definite connection between Jesus and the God of the universe. And then he says, not only I am the true vine, my Father is the gardener, but I am the vine and you are the branches. And Jesus immediately links us with God. We are completely and intimately connected with God himself, the God of the universe. He's no longer some distant figure way beyond us, but through Jesus Christ, completely connected. Former President Jimmy Carter once described a fishing outing with his father. He said he went to a local fishing hole, fished all day together with his dad, and they caught a bunch of fish. And many years ago, then down in the south, and they would hook all the fish on a single line. And in the afternoon, his father said it was time to go home, but Jimmy wanted to stay and fish some more. And so his father agreed, telling him, well, just bring home the catch of fish, all hooked together on a single line. And after fishing a while longer, Jimmy then started for home with the line of their catch attached to his belt loop, just hanging from his pants there, from his on the side of his leg. And as boys would do, he didn't just head straight home. He wandered around and tumbled through the creek a bit, you know, with his catch of fish still attached to him. And he's dancing around and jumping over logs and all this kind of stuff. But on his way home, the line somehow, somewhere along the way, broke. And he lost the catch of the day. He arrived to his front porch and sat on the steps, afraid to go in and tell his normally austere father that he lost the fish. And as evening set, his father stepped outside to look for Jimmy and saw him sitting there on the steps, looking rather forlorn. And he asked him, "Where are the fish, Jimmy?" And Jimmy told him, He lost them. His father sat down next to him, put his arm on his shoulder, and said, it's okay, Jimmy. We'll catch some more another time. And then Jimmy Carter said this, in that moment, I knew for the first time that my father loved me. That's the kind of connection that Jesus wants to convey. Here in this image, I am the true vine and my father is the gardener. I am the vine and you are the branches. The gardener loves us and he tends to the vine because he's a gardener and he loves vines. And he loves tending the vine. He loves caring for it. He loves seeing it flourish. That's what the gospel is telling us in this passage. Whatever fears and despair and betrayal are just before us, whatever troubles are in our lives, just as the disciples were troubled by all that was about to happen. I mean, you got to imagine, right? Right after this, then Jesus goes into the Garden of Gethsemane, starts sweating blood and sweat. The disciples are worried and they're wondering what's going on. And then Peter betrays him and the guards arrest him and he goes on trial and the disciples scatter because they're just entirely too scared. Imagine the tension that goes on between the disciples. You left. Well, you betrayed him. And all of the fear and all of the frustration and all of the worry that is entailed with it. And then they recall these words, I am the vine, you are the branches. It doesn't depend on your performance. It doesn't depend on whether you're better than that person or whether you're worse than this person. It depends on whether you are in the vine. Connection with Jesus is simply, Jesus says, abiding in him. Just being part of the vine. You see, Jesus says, abide in me. And here John does a curious thing in his gospel because that term abiding in Jesus is something like make your home with Jesus. Set up your tent and hang out with Jesus. That's what this is conveying. Right? Abiding in him is simply to be at home with Jesus, which is really cool because at the very beginning of John's gospel, John says Jesus made his home with us. John 1 verse 14, the word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. And now Jesus comes to his disciples and turns it around and says, I've made my dwelling with you, now you make your dwelling with me. Abide in me. Isn't that cool? And that's what Tim had to learn, right? Tim knew Jesus had come down, made his dwelling among us. Yeah, great. Thanks, Jesus, for showing up. And then the journey to learn to abide in Jesus, to make yourself at home with Jesus. Not just to see him out there and go, oh, I better impress him. But to make your home with Jesus, to be yourself with Jesus and to just sit there with him. That kind of intimate connection Jesus intends with this image to say, be connected to me because you cannot live without being connected to me. So make this image true for you by, well, maybe in this week, just intentionally setting aside some time to say, this week, I'm going to explore what that might mean for me to abide in Jesus. What would that look like for you? Maybe it means that You set aside a portion of your day to just sit with Jesus, to be still. Summer's perfect for that, right? With, you know, reduced schedules and, you know, relaxed time, vacation time, time off, less routine, maybe, hopefully, less demands. And take some time aside to just be still, reflect. Certainly spend time in prayer. But in that prayer, don't just kind of just try to go through all of the things that you need to go through to get through to God, but maybe just use that prayer time just to be with God. I do some running, and people have asked, so when you run, do you like listen to music and stuff? And I know apparently that helps, and, you know, so if you listen to some rousing music, you know, it keeps you going, and it keeps you in rhythm, keeps your pace up, and so on. The thing is, as I've developed my running habit, it's become a spiritual thing for me, so that when I'm running, I use that time to just be with God. Which helps, because sometimes I get so caught up just with being with God that all of a sudden my run is over, and that is something to rejoice over. Because otherwise the run seems, it's like, you know, you start out the run and it's like, oh, I got 4.5 more kilometers to go. But when I'm in the zone, and when I just take the time as I'm running to just say, God, I just want to be with you. I want to be with you. Here's some things that I want to bring to you. And then also, I'm just caught up with abiding in Jesus. Make some room for that in your life this week. Make some room in your life, maybe as a pattern or a habit even. Turn over your life to God. Make that an intentional choice. Tim had to learn that. Say, man, I had to learn to surrender some of this stuff. Some of the stuff that looked really appealing. Some of the stuff that I thought, man, I gotta have that experience. I gotta have that thing. Learn to surrender it. Let it go. Simply to abide in Jesus. But not only is this picture of a vine then a picture of closeness, of intimacy, of connectedness, but it's also a picture of discipleship, of what it means to follow hard after Jesus, to pursue him. Jesus says, I am the vine. But then he adds, and you are the branches. In every other statement, Jesus says, I am the bread of life, and he goes on to explain that. He says, I am the light of the world. He goes on to explain that. He goes, I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. He goes on to explain those things. In this one, he says, I am the vine, and you are the branches. That's a call to follow Jesus. That's a calling to say, if you are the branches, you have to follow me. I am the true vine. There's a lot of other false vines out there that you can attach yourself to think that that's going to give you life. And I know that every one of us has been tempted by it, and every one of us has experienced something of that, of saying, man, I thought this part would give me life. If only I could have attached myself to that, that would have been life. That would have been living. Jesus says, but discipleship is about attaching yourself to the true vine. You're a part of Jesus. You're a natural outgrowth of Jesus' own life. More than that, when you let Jesus' life flow in you and through you, which is a great way to think about communion even, right? When Jesus says, drink this juice, it's the the blood that I've shed for you. That's Jesus' lifeblood. When you're part of the vine, you're called to follow hard after Jesus. You're no longer independent. You're not on your own, and you are not your own. And you're not left to your own devices. This isn't a matter of saying, oh man, I better buck up. I better get going. I better like work harder at this. No. It's a matter of simply abiding in Jesus. As a branch of the vine, you don't have to try harder to be a branch. You just are. As a branch of the vine, you don't have to say, whoa, I better figure out a way to produce better fruit. No, you just do. You just produce fruit when you abide in Jesus. Because you're a branch. I am the vine. You are the branches, Jesus says. So discipleship is a matter of abiding in Jesus, letting his word of life flow through you, and fostering that environment where you can flourish as a branch. See, there's the thing, is that so often we live our lives and we let so many other things crowd out this environment in which you as a branch can flourish on the vine. We block out all of the nutrients. We absorb a polluted environment. Discipleship is fostering an environment where you can flourish as a branch of the vine. It's not just a matter of trying harder. It's a matter of placing yourself in that place where you can flourish, praying so that the presence of Christ can guard you and guide you. But discipleship, then, is not just a matter of abiding in Jesus. It's also a matter of bearing fruit. You can't be part of the vine and not bear fruit. That was the judgment against Israel. They claimed that they were the vine, but they bore no fruit. What is that fruit? Well, certainly in the Old Testament context and for our context, it's righteousness. God's righteousness, which Paul in Romans says, that righteousness is Jesus Christ. Well, what does that have to do with us? Well, it has everything to do with you. When you abide in Christ, then the righteousness of Christ is yours. Is yours. That's the fruit of the vine. When Christ lives in you, when the Spirit of Christ is in you. So Paul says in Galatians 5, live in the Spirit, because the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. You can't manufacture that kind of fruit on your own. You can't just say, oh, I better impress God. I better decide to do this. No. Apart from Jesus, you can do nothing. See, I think one of the things that I'm afraid that we get caught up in is because we have been blessed with so many resources, we start thinking the fruit is all of the good things we accomplish and all of our great achievements, and we think we're going to build the kingdom of God for God. In this image, Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches. Apart from me, you can do nothing. So the primary thing isn't accomplishing things for God. The primary thing isn't a matter of whether you impress God or whether you do all of the right things or not. The primary thing is whether you're abiding in Jesus. Because when you're abiding in Jesus, well then, you're just a branch on the vine. And when you're a branch on the vine, you will produce fruit. Discipleship. It's a matter of letting Jesus' life flow into us. And that takes humility. That takes surrender. kind of surrender that Tim had to learn, to say, I needed to let go of this stuff in order to abide in Jesus. What might that mean for you? Maybe it means making intentional choices in your life that make room not for producing more, not for performing better, but making room in your life for abiding in the presence of Jesus. Maybe it means saying no, an intentional no to the busyness that distracts you. Maybe it means saying yes to the freedom you have in Christ. No to enslavement of materialism or consumerism, of thinking I need to have it all. To make those intentional choices. To follow hard after Jesus in order to abide in him. And then finally, I am the vine, you are the branches. A beautiful image, a picture of connectedness and intimacy, a picture of discipleship and following hard after Jesus, and also a picture of unity and community. Because when we're a vine, that and each of us are branches, I mean, take a look at a vine, right? Grapevine there. I mean, you can't even see through that vine. There's so many branches that are interwoven and twisted around each other and you know, over top of each other and underneath each other and woven around. And that's a picture of what it is to be followers of Jesus Christ together. We're branches twisted and turned around each other. And sometimes we get in each other's way. And sometimes there are complications and frustrations and conflicts. Vines get messy. They get tangled. I've got a crazy ivy vine growing up my chimney because the chimney is just gray cinder block and I didn't like that look. And so I thought something green would spruce it up, make it look pretty. Except that silly vine is, if I let it, it'll just take over the whole house. It'll wrap itself around the entire house. And so I got to keep pruning it back like a good gardener. It's a picture of the church, a vine that grows and the gardener needs to prune it back once in a while. And sometimes the branches get in each other's way and it gets messy. I know that church as an institution, it's not very popular these days anymore. What we love is the image of close connection, of intimacy with Jesus. We love that connection, but just leave me alone. I just want to be with Jesus. But this image, I am the vine, you are the branches, doesn't allow us to think in terms of just me and Jesus. It means that we're branches together because we're all part of the vine. And if you exclude someone, that means that you're excluding yourself. You're setting yourself apart from the vine. And when a branch gets cut off from the vine, it can no longer live. God is the farmer. And he's not interested in one branch growing one cluster of grapes. You might be able to say, oh, I'm so close with Jesus, and oh, I produce the fruit of love, joy, and peace. But God's not interested in one branch producing one cluster of grapes. Farming success for God depends on the whole community of branches, upon the fruitfulness of the entire vine. In other words, it's not about me and Jesus. If we're the vine, then we belong together, and a vine must remain unified in order to live. And yes, vines get messy, tangled even. Discomfort, dissatisfaction, conflict interrupts all of that pretty flow of feeling connected to Jesus. M. Scott Peck, a Christian psychologist, writes that the absence of conflict is the essential dynamic of a fake community. A fake community, a community that's just pretending. A pastor from New York City, responding to a parishioner's complaints about the music and worship, said, it's okay not to like everything that goes on here. If you liked everything, then there'd be something wrong. This wouldn't be a community of real and diverse people. That's the way it is, isn't it? That's what it's like to be community. Branches going in all different directions, but connected to the vine. In fact, the branches are the vine. As we follow hard after Jesus, we are the vine. We are the life of Jesus, proclaiming love, joy, and peace into this world. But we've got to remain in the vine. So make this image true of you by practicing, love for others. Not just for the ones that you like, but for the ones who need the life of Jesus. Not just for the ones with whom you get along, but also practice love for your enemies. And be generous. Be generous with your life. Be generous with your attitude. Be generous with your blessings. As you let the life of Jesus flow through you, pass it along. You can't stop the flow of Jesus' lifeblood just because you're a branch that needs some and say, it just ends with me. Let it flow generously. Receive with humility. Give with cheerfulness. And then learn to be a flexible branch. Flexible. Intertwined. Be ready for the gardener who not only harvests fruit, but he also prunes back the branches. Which means that the shape of the community is constantly changing. That's not a bad thing. But it means that we're going to be constantly changing according to the purposes of God. So long as we abide in Jesus. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, thank you for this beautiful image of not only what it means to be attached to Jesus, but what it means to be connected to God and to one another. And so, God, let this image flow through our hearts and minds in this week. Let it be a picture of what you call us to do and be. To love God with our whole heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. And so we pray, God, that you will bless us with a special time this week to enjoy abiding in Jesus. And may it encourage us, comfort us, spur us on, and convict us to be part of the vine and to bear fruit that brings honor and glory to you, O God, and to your kingdom. We pray this with humility and with an eagerness to love you more. We pray this in Jesus' name.